Okay, so we're in Daf Mem Gimel tonight. That's Sota 43a. I'll begin, a little bit at the end of the bottom line on the Beis Hamidrash. So Va'atem Yatem Kin Chuli. So again, we're talking about Meshulch Mokama addressing the Jewish soldiers, and he says, like the non-Jews, put their faith in mortal man, and they don't do too well. But he says the last line of the Mishnah on yesterday's Daf says Va'atem Yatem Kin. You're not the same way. That God, your God, goes with you. So he says, why does he say, it's based on the Pasuk, why does he say that God goes with you to war? And why can't it just say Hashem Imachem? And what is it that he goes with you? What is it talking about? There's something physical that goes out to war with them, and that's the Aron. And again, so according to some of Farshim, there were two Aronot, the one Aron that's in the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash, and one that goes to war with them. And then others say, no, there was only one Aron and never left the Beis HaMikdash. So this is going according to the opinion that there's a separate Aron, according to the opinion that there's two Aronot. So the second Aron has the Shibrei Luchot in it. Shashem v'chol chinuyav munachem b'aron. Hashem, all his names are there in the Aron. So it means that there are many Shemot for Hashem. So, but I don't know exactly if, in other words, that there are 72 names of Hashem, like 72 three-letter names of Hashem, but certainly the Shemot Farash is there, and Elokeichem, the Rabbi Leibowitz is saying. So he says, V'cheinu Omer, and it says we're in line one, on Mem Gimel Aleph 43a. So he says, V'cheinu Omer, it says in Parshas Matot, the Moshe Rabbeinu sent them 1,000 from each sheva to go to war with the Midianim. Otam, v'yatinchas. Otam, elu Sanhedrin. So it's Otam, it means the member of the Sanhedrin. And then Pinchas, the Meshulach Malkama. Pinchas is the Kohen who's Meshulach Malkama. Uchlei HaKodesh. And the Pasuk says, Uchlei HaKodesh. It says that Aron v'luchot shabo, v'chatzotrot ha'truah elu ha'shofarot. So the point is, the Klei HaKodesh means the Aron, together with the luchot, was there on line four. He says, and then chatzotrot ha'truah. So he quotes elu ha'shofarot. So it's a little difficult to say elu shofar. Shofar is different than chatzotra. Chatzotra is the trumpet. So you could say, and Rav Leibowitz was saying, like one of the Gemara says, later on, Lashono changes. So in the Chumash, it's called Chatzotro, but later on, it's called Shofarot. Or, in other words, they would blow the Chatzotro when they're going to war. Or the alternative, you could say, that they only need the Chatzotro when they're in Eretz Yisrael. If it's a war outside of Eretz Yisrael, so they'll even take Shofarot with them. So Tana taught Nebraisa, lo lachinam, lachpin chasta miltama. It was like a double negative, not for naught. It was like, Pinchas had an added interest in going to war with the Midianim. He says, "Eli paradin avimo." He wanted to gain vengeance for his mother's father, and it was his maternal grandfather. Shneemar, the Gemara is going to learn that Pinchas was a descendant of Yosef. So he says, "Shneemar v'amidanim achru otom Mitzrayim v'gomer." The Midianim sold Yosef to Mitzrayim. So the Gemara takes it from here that the Midianim and the Midianim are the same, but. Yeah, so here as soon as the Midianim are same as Midianim, the main. So the Gemara says the main is Pinchas miYosef. So the implication of this is that Pinchas is the son of Yosef. The Haktiv, but it says Elazar ben Aaron lakachom yivro puti alolisha. So we know Pinchas's father is Elazar. So that's the Tzad Kuhuna that we know. So the only sort of unknown is the mother. So it says Elazar ben Aaron lakachom yivro puti alolisha. That Elazar, that's Pinchas's father, took from the daughters of Putiel for a wife. My love, the Atim Beatrosh, when it says, Mibenot Putiel, is it not that Putiel is a reference to Yitro? Why is he called Putiel? Because he fattened, Shipitame, Agalim, Lavor Kukavim. He fattened calves for Avodah Zarah before he was a Mamin Hashem. He did that. So if that's the case, so then Pinchas is descended from Yitro and from Aaron, but not from Yosef. So lo, so the Gemara is not necessarily the correct shot. Yosef should pipe Yitro. I could say when it says from the doors of Putiel, Putiel means descendants of Putiel, descendants of Yosef, Putiel could be a reference to Yosef, and why would Yosef be called Putiel? Shepipe Biyitzo. He, if you look at the first Rashi, Zilzel the Kavash Oto Velo Chashavo, or Velo Chashavo. He was Mizalzel, in other words, he suppressed his Yetzahara, he was Mizalzel with the Yetzahara, and he wasn't Machshav Yetzahara. So the Gemara says, so Beno Putiel could mean the sense of Yosef. So the Gemara says, Velo Shvatim Abazin Oto. But is that true? But we know that the Shvatim, means the other Jews, taunted Pinchas and said, they disparaged him, maybe not necessarily to his face, but they said that, did you see the son of Puti, Shapitim Avimo, his mother's father fattened calves for Avodah Zarah, and he kills an Asim Yisrael, he kills an Asis. That sounds like Putiel is Yitro. So Ella, the Gemara says it's both true. Yeah, in other words, the mother is the unknown. The mother is the question mark. Ella, if you assume that his maternal grandfather was from Yosef, then his maternal mother was from Yosef, from Yitro. And if you say that the mother's mother was from Yosef, so in other words, his maternal grandparents, one of them was from Yosef, a descendant of Yosef, one a descendant from Yitro. So Dekanami, the Gemara says one can deduce this from a careful reading of the Pasuk, the Chimi Berot Putiel. So he says, Lakachlomi Berot Putiel, Putiel spelled with a Yud. So he says, Trey Mashma. It sounds like, if you look at Rashi, the third white line, Trey Pute, Lokti Putiel. It doesn't say Putiel, Putiel. Again, it's like a nickname, a sobriquet. So if it was just one or the other, it was saying Berot Putiel, and it was either that he was Mefate Magal Mavorakukavim or Pipe Bietro. Putiel implies they're both in play. Trey Mashma, Shwamina. So indeed, the Gemara concludes that Pinchas would have sent him from both Yosef and from Yitro. Now, and I'll just say a little piece of Torah. This is, one of my rebbeim was Rav Michal Katz. His father was Reuven Michal, I think, yeah. The Michal Katz. His father was Rav Reuven Katz. He was a big gadol in Europe. Then he came at Yeshiva Rabbeinu Yitzchak Khanan. Yeah. So his father was Rav Reuven Katz. And Reuven Katz was a gadol in Europe, and then he came here. He was a rabbi for 2 years in a community in New Jersey, and then he went to Israel and became he was head of the Beis Din in Petah Tikva, and he served on a Beis Din with Rav Avadia Yosef. And when Rav Avadia came to YU once, like he was talking about the presence of Rav Michal Katz, he was talking about, he said that he remembered that Rav Reuven Katz would say that, and Rav Reuven Katz said, oh, that was my dad. I wasn't there for that conversation, but that's when I said took place. Anyway, so he says like this, like it says that they were taunting him and saying that he's a descendant of Yitro. And so therefore the Torah is Miyachis him after Aaron. Miyachis him after Aaron. So Zudei Reuven asks, how does that help anything? He kills Zimri. So they're all saying, like, does that sound like a from guy? Like, he learns in Yeshiva, he takes his spear and stabs both of them. He says, where do you get this from? He got this from the Yitro blood.
Yeah, but we get the Haskama from Moshe and Hashem.
Well, we'll see. But this is what the people who were disparaging were saying. So, in other words, like, it's like, in other words, some were saying, he acted religiously, he's Senator Varro, and some were saying, no. He religiously. So how does it help him? He says, Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron Cohen. So he says, no, Pinchas is the son of Elazar, but he's still a son of Yitro. So how does it mean Yashiv anything? So he says like this, the Ksav Sofer says, it says, Havemi Tamidav Shal Aaron, Ohev Shalom, Rodev Shalom, Ohev Rebriyot Makar from the Torah. So normally we translate it, you should love peace and pursue peace. So the Ksav Sofer says, Rodev Shalom doesn't mean to pursue peace. Like a Rodev in Alacha is if Reuven is pursuing Shimon to kill Shimon, Reuven is a Rodev. He's a Rodev. So he says sometimes when it comes to Shalom, you have to be a Rodev Shalom. In other words, peace isn't the highest good. Sometimes you have to destroy peace. So it means, so that in Hachinami, the fact that he killed Zimri was the meat of Aaron HaKohen. In other words, sometimes the meat of Aaron HaKohen is that you would like peace. But and I'll say like from Dr. Lamb's Zichron LeBracha, he said that those two elements are in conflict with each other. In other words, we want peace, we have principles. So those are the two that are in conflict. If I jettison my principles, I can have peace with everybody. You know, those things, they have to balance both of those. So that's what it means. Pinchas ben Elzar ben Aaron Cohen, she becomes Yom Yisrael. Okay, any questions, comments to us? Anything we did so far? Very good.
I thought of telling our Pinchas, who do you think he is? Who do you think you are doing such a thing? Because you come from such a bad...
In other words, this was a big thing. Like, somebody's killing the Nasi. So the way this drush is going, that they were saying, you know, where does he get off killing somebody? It doesn't sound like the film person. It doesn't sound like kind of Aaron. It sounds like Nasi Dimitro. It's the Duday Ruving. Okay. What?
It's similar to Avram Avinu with their Kedah. It goes against the grain of the whole of what Avram stands for. So, but sometimes you have to have the media of Achzorius. That's the media of Achzorius in order to do what you have to do sometimes.
All right.
That media of Achzorius was started by Avram Avinu.
All right. Let's keep moving. Okay. Now, when the next Mishnah. Okay, Manitin, everybody mute themselves. Manitin, but the Brua Shotrim Elaam Meimor. So then the Shotrim are, so it says in the Torah, that if you read, I don't have a Chumash up here, but it says that if you read the Sukkim, it says that the Kohen and the Nigasha Kohen with the Berlaam, he'll give them the pep talk, you know, you're going to war with the Voidechem, Hashem is with you. And then with Debru Ashotrim, the Shotrim will say, you know, we have all these exemptions. Then it says, V'yasfu Ashotrim, the Shotrim will continue on. So Manitim, with Debru Ashotrim Alamli Moor, Misha Banayah by Chadash Lo Chanacho, somebody built a new house and didn't dedicate it, like, you know, live in it. That's why Rabbi Hacker was saying, you should go back home. So the Mishnah says, whether you built a house, whether you built like a stable, even for straw, he says, or a stable for cattle, or a shed for wood, a woodshed, or you bought something, like, have a shed to, or a barn to hold. Rashi learns the fourth wide line, lo to yayin v'shem netuah, to store wine or oil or tevuah. Echad abona, so any of those will exempt you. He says, echad abona, whether you built it, echad lokech, or if you purchased it, echad yoresh, or you yarshened it, echad shatala matana, or you the recipient of a gift. All of those will get you off the draft or off the battlefield. So the first one is banabai padash. Okay, that's down. The person planted a vineyard, below chillo means he didn't redeem it. It means in the fourth year, the first 3 years, it's orla, you can't eat the fruit. The fourth year is neta ravai, in other words, you bring the fruits to, or kerem ravai. The fourth year, if it's a vineyard, it's kerem ravai, you bring the fruits to Yerushalayim, but you could be po to the fruits and bring the money, like Master Fain.
Why are you just talking?
So it means even if you planted it, it's the fourth year, below chillo, in other words, you didn't have a chance to redeem it. In other words, you have the vineyard, and you're not, if it's before the fourth year, you're definitely exempt. But even in the, we'll see, in other words,
first 3 years, you're exempt.
You're exempt. And then below Kililo, but even in the fourth year, we'll see, till the end of the fourth year, you'll be okay. So he says, below Kililo, you didn't redeem the fruit. Echadon otea kerem, whether you planted a vineyard, echadon otea chamishai l'nei machal, or in the alternative, if you planted five fruit-bearing trees, that also constitutes a kerem, even though it's not great. He says, even if each one is from a different species, and whether you planted the sapling, mavrik, they translate layering, means that you take a branch of the tree, you stick it in the ground, then it sprouts roots, and then you snip the branch off, and now you have a different plant. So if you're a mavrik, you're also planted a kerem. The chadamarkiv, if you grafted, it also counts like a new kerem. We'll talk a little more about that. Whether you purchased it, mechada yoresh, or you arshened it, mechashna talamatan, or you're recipient of a gift, so that's also an exemption. Then umia yishay rasi shal begomer. If a person did erusin, but he didn't conclude it with nisuin, echad hamareset abatula. Whether you're maareset abatula, you're off the hook. Mechada maareset almana, or you had a widow. Afilu shomeret yavam. Even if his brother died and now he has yavama. That's an exemption for him. Even if he heard that his brother died in the war, Choser Ubalo, he returns. Now, the thing is, as Rabbi Leibowitz was saying, he was quoting from the Kashuk Lover, How is the last case of Shushman Lechib and Melchama? How is it different than Shemeret Yavam? It's the same thing. So you wanted to say that sometimes, like in war, like the information you get isn't always so accurate. Like you hear this or the other. But nevertheless, for this purpose of this halacha, he can go back. He says, Chazer Bravo. Now, Kol Elu Ve'elu we have, but the back picks out one of the Elus. Kol Elu, Shomin Divrei Kohen, Marachei Melchama, the Chozrin. So in other words, like this, they have to go in the army, and then they at a certain point in time, they hear the Kohen will say, these are the exceptions. And so then, remember, we learned that the Kohen speaks to them in the Sfar, and then the field of battle.
Order.
That's right. So the field of battle, he says, who people need to go, get going, right? What did we say yesterday about this? How do we do this? We said, let me just take a look quickly. One second, no, about the Sfar. Yeah. We'll come as far as we're there. Shema Yisrael, right. Shemud Devrei Marachei Melcham V'chizru. Oh, right. So in the border town, he says it's time to go back. So in other words, they have to respond to the call to national arms.
Before they go in.
In other words, and then they have to travel to the border town. And in the border town, the Kohen says you get these four examples, well, three, and then the fourth we'll hear about it, and then it'll be from the Shochim. So he says, so even if at that point they hear from the they get to go back. Now he says, Kol Elu Ve'elu or Elu Shomin Tibre Kohen Morachei Melchama. The Arabic the Kohen has to stay concerning like the regiments, the Chozrin and their Chozer, but they're not off the hook from national service at all, completely. In other words, they're going to be part of the rear guard support troops. They're going to supply water and food to the troops.
Mm-hmm.
Umetaklin adrakim, and they're in charge of maintaining the roads. It's interesting, roads are an important factor with the military, you know. Like the Romans had a lot of roads, but like even till today, like they have the roads are still extant in Italy. So I remember it was a teacher I had once, he was saying, like, why did they build a road? The main purpose of those roads was for military purposes, to get the armies, you know, going where they need to go. He says, Ba'elu she'en on closing. Now, the following people don't even have to, they can stay home, they never have to even leave. They don't have to leave the door. Abona,
they don't go back at all.
Oh. Yeah, I didn't say right. Yeah, right. Sorry, you're right. Yosef said right. So the following people aren't exempt. Elushan and Chosin, Abona Beit Shar. If you built a gatehouse, is like a little hut where the guard is going to stay, but it's not like a place we would sleep. Aksadra is a pavilion. It means it's like we've had this before. It means like it's no walls, but it's got a ceiling on it, a roof. Umir Peset, a gallery, it's like a porch. It's like a ledge from the second floor. Those don't get you off the hook. Hanotea arba ilanei ma'achal. If let's say you planted only four fruit bearing trees, tough luck. But chamisha ilanei srak, or even if you planted five trees, but they were non fruit bearing trees, too bad. Hamachazir et grushato. Now, let's say a person was married, you know, to a woman, Rachel, he divorced her, and then he remarried her. So Machzir Gushto, or Almana the Kohen Gadol, we'll talk about it, Kohen Gadol married an Almana, Gusha V'chalutz the Kohen Hedyot, it means violating Halacha, or a Kohen Hedyot married a Gusha Chalutza, or Mamzeret and Natina Yisrael, if Yisrael married a Mamzeret or Natina, or Bat Yisrael, the Mamzer, or let's say the soldier was a Mamzer, and he married a Bas Yisrael, Lenatin. He says, and there was Lenatin married a Bas Yisrael, Lo Yachozer. So none of these people would go back. Now, the difficulty here is, it mentions the Kohen Gadol and the Kohen, right, the Kohen. We said, Amana Kohen Gadol, Gush Chalus, the Kohen Hedyot. It sounds like the Kohenim would be going to war, right? Because otherwise, well, like, what are they doing? They're not closing. So what's going on with that? So let's take a look. It's something that they discuss. He says here, the Birkei Yosef suggests our mission discusses Kohenim go to war voluntarily. That's what he wants to say. But I don't know, it gets a little complicated issue with this whole thing. And then with the Kohen Gadol, it's also hard. The Shoshana the David says maybe Mishnah means not the Kohen Gadol, it means the Shoshana, but it's just a Ha'ara. Let me finish the Mishnah, we'll talk. Then we're around the first very wide line downstairs on Mem Gimel Mem Aleph. He says,
maybe it's a halal. He's talking about a halal.
Well, it doesn't sound like it at all because it's halal, then he can marry the Grusha, no? He says, now, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Avabona bayit al mechono lo yachozer. So Rabbi Yehuda says, let's say he had a house and he demolished the house and rebuilt the house from scratch the same way it was before. He's not chozer. Reb Lezer omer avabona bayit alibenim b'sharon lo yachozer. Which son Reb Lezer? If a person built a house of bricks in Sharon, he doesn't get it to go back from the war because it means that the bricks in the Sharon, the clay was very like poor clay. So the house would have to be replaced twice in 7 years. That sounds like, checking for mezuzahs or whatever. And anyway, so remember, like we say on Yom Kippur, we say Velan Shea Sharon, that the Kohen Gadol would pray, Shloyesu Bateim Kibreim, that their homes should become their kever. So like they would like collapse. So if you build like the Shvach house, the Sharon Loya goes there. Now, Elu Shein Sasim Koma, this is what I was thinking about before. The following people don't have to leave their house. They're good. They're good. Bana Bayit B'chanacho. Let's say he built the house already and he dedicated and he began living in it, but he didn't live in the house for a year. He has an automatic exemption.
The house
also- Wait. Let's wait 2 or 3 months. Natakerim v'chililo, he planted the vineyard, and v'chililo, he was poed to some of the grapes, but that fourth year, though, he's allowed to stay around, that whole fourth year. Anose in arusato, if a person married his arusa. In other words, so it comes out a little bit, paradoxical. In other words, if he was just... If he only did a rusin with her, he's got to go to war, wait till he gets to the border, then the Kohen addresses him and says he has to go back. But he was no say a rusato, then he just stays put where he is. He never has to leave the front door.
He doesn't go back yet. He goes back to the line.
He goes back to the line. Right.
Back at the line before.
Wait, listen. What do you mean?
Rusa doesn't go back home.
Right. He's still supporting the support trip, right? Yeah. Right. And for 1 year. Wait. Now, if a person did Yibum, it was so for a year. Shinamar, Nakila Beitel Shana Echad. So the Torah says if a man marries a woman, he should be Nakila Beitel Shana Echad. 1 year, he should be totally like free to devote to the wife. He says, Leveto Zebeto. This is Leveto. The Gemara, when Darshan said that, is usually Beito is the wife. Here, the Gemara Darshan, the Beito is referring to your bayit. So, if he built the house and began living in it, he's entitled to, 1 year there. He says, Gia is like an extra word here because it says, it could be Nakihu Lebeito. It says, Yelebeito, Gia Ze Carmel. That's a reference to his vineyard. So, he gets to enjoy the vineyard for the whole fourth year. Yishimachet Ishto, Zu Ishto. Now, Ema speaking my mazon, talking the drachim. So the last group, they get in terms of the war, they got the best deal. They don't have to work on giving water or food to the troops, and they don't have to work on the road repair group. They're totally off. They're totally off the hook. Now, all right, this we did. Okay, now one more thing. It says Nakhil Bekoshana Khat. So there's a question of halakha. Let's say a person gets married, can he take a business trip without his wife for the first year? So Rabbi Leibowitz is mentioning the Sefer Achinuch says he's
exempt. Can you talk a little louder, please?
You can't hear me?
Speak a little louder, please.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. Rabbi Leibowitz mentioned the Sefer Achinuch says that he's exempt from military service, but he also shouldn't even be taking any other trips. That's why the Sefer Achinuch says. But this whole question of halacha, what would be during that first year? It's not so clear if it's not for military purposes, is it prohibited or not? Okay. Now time for questions, comments, and thoughts. Go away. Yo, we got Rafi
so
here.
Can he...
wait, Rafi, then you go.
Not in marriage. Is it going to the first wife or second service of your...
Infers the exemption. So any wife would be the exemption.
A rich man would have a good
point. And I can
any
tell you.
Every time there's a war, he gets married. He builds a house.
Or he builds... What can I tell you? Okay. All right. So Rafi was saying that a rich fellow could keep marrying, building homes, and doing things like that to get away from the service. Okay. But again, when we're talking about these exemptions, again... Talking about exemptions, there are two types of war. There's Melchamet Mitzvah, Melchamet Rishos, or Melchamet Chol, Melchamet Rishos. We'll see how the Gemara later on will explain, not today, but later on. But it means you have the war where you're fighting for Eretz Israel, then no exemptions. There are no exemptions. And then there's Melchamet Mitzvah, is you're going outside the borders, or Melchamet Rishos, you're going outside the borders of Eretz Israel. So then when we talk about exemptions, okay, now, okay, Fern, what do you got? Who had a question, Fern?
Something similar that you can keep marrying women, and you do it 1 year apart, and that's like draft dodging.
What can I tell you? All right. All right. What's up? Ruth, let me hear from you. Go ahead.
So I know that it says in Shulchan Aruch that for the first year, he's exempt because he's supposed to be on hand to satisfy his wife and keep her happy.
Right. Wait, you know that it says that in Shulchan Aruch?
Yes, I've seen it in more than one place.
Okay, all right. So what's your question?
That's just a comment, not a question.
All right. But the question is, I have to see the line of Shulchan Aruch. The question is it just that he can't depart for war, or even let's say for business he can't leave and things like that. All right. Now, any other questions, comments, thoughts?
We got to
keep moving. Okay, now let's go back to the
line.
Okay. Let's get further. Okay, now the sixth wide line. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. The fifth wide line. Okay. So Gemara Tanur Banan. All right. We got to help everybody out here a little bit. 1 second. So it says in the Chumash, it says the Shotrim will speak, and then it talks about the exemption. The Debrua Shotrim, the Chodrim Shalatzman. I might think like their own words. In other words, like who's speaking? Shotrim. In other words, it says there are four exemptions. So it says the Debrua Shotrim, the first three exemptions, which are the house and the kerem and the wife, and the fourth exception is Yarei Barak Alibav. So it says first is Vidibru, and then before the fourth one says Biasfu. We'll continue. So Tanurban Vidibru Shotrim Yechol Dvar Mishal Atzman Shulmir Biasfu Shotrim Dvar Mishal Atzman. This Biasfu, those are their statements. I mean, those statements assigned to them. Amor Amani Mekayim Vidibru Shotrim Vidibru Mishul Malchamak Tzibadaber. So the first words are the words of Mishul Malchama Hakteit Zad. So the coin would say the first three exemptions, or the first exemption, and then the shotrim say it louder, and then they publicize it. And then the second, third, I assume like that way. He says, I don't know if they did all three together or one. He says, okay, Tani Fada, coin with the bear, shoter mashmi. Learn one price, the coin speaks, and the shoter is mashmi. It's like what Lee was saying, like the Amora with the Chacham, like so you're right, and he says it loud for everybody, and he elaborates. I don't hear they're elaborating, but they're publicizing. B'tani Yida, Kohen the Rebbe, Kohen Mashmiya. Second Bryce says, Kohen speaks and Kohen is Mashmiya. He says, B'tani Yida, Shoter the Rebbe, Shoter Mashmiya. Third Bryce says, the Shoter speaks, the Shoter is Mashmiya. So Amar Abaye HaKetzad, so Bryce says, how do we reconcile all these Bryces? Mi v'nigash v'debru, Kohen the Rebbe, Kohen Mashmiya. So the first section is, the Kohen says, like, don't be afraid from the enemy and so forth. That's like a davar ruchni. So the kohen is one who says those words. And then the kohen is mashmiya. There was another kohen to publicize it. But that's something that's given over to the kohenim. He says, but from the first three exemptions, the kohen speaks them out. And then the shoter is mashmiya. He says, but from yasfu going forward, and they said, like the Kohen just said, like, don't be afraid, like, you know, Zorknisht. And this is saying, Yarei Barak Alibav. So it's like the passage that he should say it's over. He says, Miyasuba Eilach, Shoter, and the Be'er Shoter Mashmiya. So the Shoter says it, and the Shoter is Mashmiya. So we have three different types of statements. Okay, so again, the statements like, you know, God is with you. So the Kohen Mashiach Malchama speaks, and another Kohen could be Mashmiya.
Himself.
It could be another Kohen, maybe it's Mashmiya. And then, the second is the first three exemptions, the Kohen is Mashmiya, and the Shotrim, or the Kohen Medaber and the Shotrim is Mashmiya. And the fourth one is Shoter and Shoter. Now, Let me just see if there's anything about it. Wait. Quiet, boy. Hold every question. Hold questions. Remember, I need
stuff.
Okay. Yeah, everybody mute until I say unmute. Okay. Now, one second. I just want to see when you were asking me about. Yeah. What's that? Yeah, another Kohen. Right. Rabbi says another Kohen. Okay. Let's see further in the Gemara. All right, we're five lines from the bottom. Now,
so that's what the pasuk was talking about, the exemption of the coins I just said to repeat, not to actually go to bed.
That's what we said yesterday, right? Okay. Now, Mia Yishir Banabai Chadash Kulei, who's the person who built a new house? Kulei, Panorbana. The Bais are elaborating more than Mishnah. Panorbana, Asher Bana, Ainli Ella Asher Bana. I only know from the Psukim that he built the house. Lakach Birash and Tanuma Tanaminayin. How do I know that a person purchased the house? Yarsh the house, received as a gift. How do we know he also has an exemption? Tamalomar, mi ha'ish asher bana. This is ha'ish, it's an extra word, ha'ish. So ha'ish teaches me that there are more exemptions other than building. He says, bayit, aimly the bayit. I only know a bayit, a house. Minayla rabot beit ha'teben. How do I know that, you know, a barn for straw, ubeit ha'bakar, or a barn for cattle, ubeit ha'etzim, it's like a woodshed, ubeit ha'otzrod, like a shed for like the storage of wine or tvua or oil, that's also an exemption. Tamalomar, asher bana mikumakom. So he says, the way Rashi understands it, the Torah could have said, asher bayit bana. It could have said, who's the person who a house built? In other words, a house would be first. It says, mi ha'ish asher bana bayit. So if I pause before bayit, mi ha'ish asher bana, it leads to that he could build other things and also be exempt. I might think that there was an exemption for the person who builds the gatehouse, the pavilion, or the gallery. Tam lomar buy it. So now we're going to use the word buy it as a mir. Not buy it ha-ru'ilad-dira, just like buy it is for living, afkol ru'ilad-dira, everything that's ru'ilad-dira. It's interesting, you know, in my mind, I'm thinking about the din of mezuzah. Like, I think those first cases, like the Mechaber says even a lul shall turn a golem. Even a chicken coop needs a mezuzah, he says. So I'm saying something like sometimes like there are chiyuvim in mezuzah where people don't even realize it. Okay, let's see back from the Gemara. Now, I'll pause. When I take pause, that means ask questions. Otherwise, don't ask questions. Let's mute. Okay, I need silence, okay? Because I have to cover ground. We're running behind. Okay, Reb Lezer ben Yaakov Omer, Bayit Kimashma'o. The Tana Reb Lezer ben Yaakov is mechulak with the Tana Mishnah. He holds buy it means to buy it. And there's all these other things are not exemptions. You build, you know, the Beit HaTeven, tough luck, get your helmet and uniform on, you're going to war. Now the Gemara says, Lo Chanach for Lo Chanacho. So the Gemara says, the Torah could have said, Miyam Ishashar, but I buy it for Lo Chanach. Lo Chanacho, he did not dedicate it, is a Miyam. He says, Prat the Gazlan. That excludes if the person stole the house, he doesn't have an exemption. Now we'll see. Now we'll see. There's a problem with this because you really can't steal a house because even if you steal it, it's like carcaine and exile. But assuming that he could steal it, he says lema dlo krev yosei glili. So should we say that this brisa does not follow the tinin rev yosei glili? The rev yosei glili ha'amar v'rach levav. He says, in other words, the implication of the brisa is if you stole the house, you can't go home. You can't, you know, return from the field of battle. He says, but rev yosei glili says that who's the Arei Barach Levav, Zamit Yarei, Trem Hage, Me'aveiro Chivado. He's afraid that he did Aveiro. So the Gazlan would be able to go back from the battlefield. So the Gemara says, Afilu Tema Rabbi Yosei Glili. You could say that this Braisa is in accordance with Rabbi Yosei Glili. To go into Ava Tshuva. We're talking about B'Yav Demei. We're talking about the person stole the house, and then he did Tshuva, and then he paid the true owner money for the house. So now he's like a purchaser. So notwithstanding that, he can't go back from the field of battle. So ihafi avalilokeach for the hadar. It's like where it says, if that's the case, he's like a bona fide purchaser, so he should be able to return from the field of battle. So the Gemara says, came to me karb tor gzela at yadelo. Since the house originally came to him through gzela, he does not get the pass for that. So he doesn't get yarev rach libab because he did tshuva, and he doesn't get the pass of, you know, bana or lakach by it because it came to him through gzela initially. Okay. Now, time to talk. Everybody has questions. Pile up. 1 minute, I'm going to take some here and then go on the Zoom world. Go ahead.
On the house, you have exemption for one year, or it could be longer. You take the year around 2 years.
No. In other words, you bought the house, you get an exemption for a year.
What exactly shoter means?
So shoter is the people who usually in the Beis Din, they're enforcing what the Beis Din says. Let's say somebody's chayiv malchut, or being summoned to the Beis Din, they would take care of that. Okay, now let me hear from the Zoom world. Okay, Ruth, let me hear your best question, Ruth. I can't hear anything you're saying. Time, mute yourself. Ruth, it's time to unmute yourself. Now you got it.
So it says it right here. Here, he shall gladden his wife.
Okay, we're past that. Good.
Okay, but it says it right here. That's all.
Okay, what's next?
That's it.
Okay.
You asked me what the raya was. It's right here.
No, where are you reading it from, Ruth?
This is Mendel.
It was in the Mishnah. It was language in the Mishnah.
Yes, the Mishnah. I know the language. I know the Mishnah. You said the Shulchan Aruch says it. I wanted to say, where in the Shulchan Aruch did you see that? Okay. Anyway, we're good. Okay.
Rabbi, I have a question.
Daniel's got a question now. Daniel, go ahead quickly, Daniel.
It says that if it is a place that is Ra'ul Dira, if we have an extension, in other words, the person is building an extra room that he can sleep in, that is something that will put him in a category that is able to come back?
I don't know. Okay, next question. Okay.
Is there any significance to the fact that...
90 seconds. You, Ruth, I mean you, Fern, then Aaron, but we got to run. We're running out of time. Go ahead,
They talk
Fern.
About in the Mishnah, the bayit comes before the wife. Is there any significance to the order?
Yeah.
You can't have a wife, you don't have a house.
Right, that's where the Rambam says that first you get a trade, then you buy a house, then you get a wife, and that's the way the Chachamim do it, and the foolish people do it in the opposite order. And he learns it from here, but there's a little bit of a steer from what's here. Okay. Aaron Moshe, 45 seconds, go.
No, I was going to say, Vayigash, whenever there's a Lashon Vayigash, it means a Lashon not filler. It's more than just saying that, don't worry, the Bani Shloim is with
you. All right, very nice. Okay, now I'm going to move on. No more questions. Okay, that's it. No more questions, everybody. We're going for it. Okay, now, so the Gemara says, Umiya Isha Shanatak Kerem Chulei, so Tana Rabbanan, Asher Nata, who planted a vineyard, Eli Lanata, I only know that he planted. Lakach v'yarashu nitalam atanami 9, similar to what we had before. How do I know if he purchased the vineyard, yarsh from the vineyard, we received vineyard as a gift, how do I know he has an exemption? Tamalomar, umi ha'ish, asher nata. He says the ish. The ish is an extra word, just like we had the rush before here as well. He says, kerem, Eli ela kerem. So the vineyard is with grapes. Minayla rabot kamishai lene ma'achal. How do we know if a person planted 5 fruit-bearing trees, even if they were from different species? Tamalomar, asher nata. It says asher nata. I mean, it doesn't say yaish asher, kerem nata. It says asher nata. So I could put the say yaish asher nata. You do the planting. I might think that even if you planted 4 fruit-bearing trees, now 4 fruit-bearing trees is not called a kerem, he says, but chamisha lene strak, or even if he planted 5 trees, but they were non-fruit-bearing trees, tamalomar kerem. Kerem is a miyut. Reb Lezer ben Yaakov amir, kerem kimashmo. The Tana Reb Lezer ben Yaakov says, only kerem gets the exemption. So just like he said before, only the house, the base theory gets the exemption, only the kerem. Now, lo chilel, below chilelo, he says, mia ish asher, that's a kerem below chilelo. He did not redeem it, but it could say below chilel, but it's the below chilelo. So prat lemavrich lemarkiv. So this brisa, again, we've been doing a long brisa. The brisa says this is to exclude in other words, I have the vineyard. If the vineyard was planted through habracha, means you take the branches, you stick it in the ground, and then they get roots, and then you cut it, and now you have a new vineyard. And harkav is you graft, you take a branch and you graft it onto the existing plant. So this says that Havrach and Harkava is not an exemption. He says here, but in the Mishnah we learned from Tekir. So the Mishnah says, even if you did Harkava or Havracha, you have an exemption. And this price said not. Amrib Zera, Amrib Chista, Lokasha. Rib Zera says in Rib Chista, there's no contradiction between our Mishnah and the price that we just said. Tan bar kav Easter, the Brisa is talking about if the harkava, if the grafting was done kineged halacha. In other words, I'm grafting one min on top of another min, then I don't get an exemption. He says, Tan bar kav heter. But the Mishnah is talking about it's the same min. He says, so the Gemara says, hi harkava heter, hechidami. So now, okay, so we've resolved so far the steer between the Brisa and the Mishnah. But the Mishnah says that if I have harkava, and again, I say I have an existing plant, or it could be a fruit-bearing tree, according to Tana Mishnah, and then, but it's presumably an older tree, and then I take a newer branch, I still get the exemption. That's what we think. He says, hi harkava heter hechidami. So what is the case of harkava heter that gives me the exemption? Ilema yalda b'yalda, if the, like the host tree is a young tree, and the grafted branch is from a young tree, he says, typically, divine mehadar misham yalda, rishona. So anyway, he's got the exemption. In other words, whether it's a kerem, or his other fruit-bearing tree, orange orchard, whatever, but he's got the exemption already, because the host tree is an exemption. Ella yalda bezkena. So then it must be, we think, that there's an older tree, he's got like an orchard with older trees, or older vineyard vines, and he now takes a young vine and grafts it onto the older vine. That's what we think, or the younger branch on the new branch, on the old branch. But Amar Rabbi Abahu, but Rabbi Abahu says, Yalda Sheshivcha Bizkena, if you took a young branch and attached it to an older tree, Bathla Yalda Bizkena, but ain't but din orla, that there is no din in orla for the younger branch. In other words, if it's Yalda Bizkena. So here the whole idea is, he planted the kerem, and he didn't have a chance to redeem it. I mean, he didn't get to the fourth year yet. But here, this Mishnah from the second Orla is teaching me the branch gets the status of the older tree. So Lechora, there would be no exemption. So Amr B'Yermia, Liolam Yalda B'Yalda. B'Yermia says, no, the Mishnah is talking about I have a young branch together with a young host tree. We're going to not to the Hakamait, the Siagal, the Korot. But the host tree was originally planted to form part of like a fence. In other words, let's say he had a wall or a fence around his property and there was a breach in the wall. So he's thinking, I'll plant a tree over there to block the hole. He says, or the korot, or I just want to plant this fruit-bearing tree to use for wooden beams. And we'll talk about it's akasha, you know, not to chop down a tree and things like that. But the Chazonish explains the quote in the article, there are exceptions. One exception is if the wood is worth more than the fruit, then you can chop it down if it's worth more that way. So you can say it like that. He says, the siag l'korod. The Dan, we learned to the Mishnah, hanotel siag l'korod patur min orla. If a person planted the fruit-bearing tree, and his intention is the tree is only going to form like a barrier on the border, or the tree is only going to be used for its wood, okay, then he's patur from orla, because, in other words, it's not subject to the dinim of orla with this tree, because it's removed from the din of orla. So we think the pshat in the Mishnah, when we're being mavrich, is I have a young branch with a young tree, but the mother tree, the host tree, was planted for a purpose, which takes out of the dinim of orla. So the Gemara asks like this, so it's a little strange. I can have two trees who are exempt from the dinim of orla. One is an older tree, and one is a tree that was planted for wood. And yet, when I graft in each one the young branch to it, in one case you're saying that the young branch gets the din of the older tree, but in the second case, the young branch which is grafted onto is like a new tree. Now it's subject to all the din and exemptions. So Gemara says, "Hatam imim lechala labat mahadrahi." When it comes to the older host tree, you can't make a decision one way or another to change its status. It's an older tree. It's exempt from orla. Haka with the tree that was planted for wood or to block the border, imim lechala labat mahadrahi. If the person thinks I changed my mind, and I want the tree for the fruits, that would change the whole status of the tree. That may cover the payrot kaima, because the tree by default is for payrot. He says, so therefore, with the tree that was planted for wood or was planted to block the border, so right now is exempt from the dinim of orla. But if the person decides now I want to use it for the fruit, so then it comes back right away. So therefore, if he has a branch that he grafts on, the branch is grafted for fruit, so that branch gets the dinim of all the fruit. Needed to have a alu melehen. This is similar to the case where a tree grew on its own. I didn't plant it. This is again a Mishnah Masechet Orla. Ditnan alume elehen, if they grew on their own, chayavin ba'orla. So then they are chayav in orla. So the So it means that when I planted it, I didn't have to come out and use it for fruit trees. It just came by itself. But now I'm using it. Yeah, it's chayav. Okay. So again, let's just think through what we learned. So we had a steer between the Brice and the Mishnah. The Brice says that if you do harkava or havracha, so there's no exemption for the person. Mishnah says there is an exemption. So we said the Brice is talking about you did Isur with it, so you don't get an exception for that. Mishnah's talking about the heter. So the Gemara says, okay, so in the Mishnah, so the case with the havracha, I understand, you took root and then chopped it away, it's a different thing. But the grafting, what's the case of the grafting? So if the mother tree was an older tree, it doesn't make sense. So if it's yalda with yalda, but wouldn't the base, or anyway, be subject to the dinim? So the Gemara says, no, it could be that the base tree is a yalda, but I planted it for its wood, or I planted it to block off the hole in the wall of the fence. So then it was exempt from the dinim of orla, and then if I graft on a branch when tempted to use the fruit, so that's an exemption. Now, the Gemara takes it that the answer that we gave is very dochak, because he says, I mean, you have to say that, you know, it was the thing, he's planting it for the fence, he planted for the wood. So the Gemara has a different hesber. Look at the Kerem Shoshnei Shutvim. Why can't we say that when the Mishnah says that you have your Mavri, you graft it, so you get an exception, why can't we say that the Kerem belongs to two people, Reuben and Shimon? The Hayahadar today, the Hayahadar today. Maybe the Tanis teach me like this. Like, let's say Reuven, he owns the mother tree, you know, it was the original tree.
Young and young, we're talking about.
What? In other words, young and young, right. In other words, so Reuven owns the mother trees, and Shimon owns the grafted branches. And they get together, they make shutfus, you know, your mother trees, my branches. So can it be that maybe the Tanis Mishnah is saying that now they both get exemptions? They each have a pair of the tree. So Amara Papa, so since Rabbi Yirmiyah did not give that answer, the Gemara says Amara Papa, Zoro Meret, from here we could deduce, Kerem Shoshen Shutvim, in Chosun Alav, Ma'orche Miltama Kama, that if the Kerem belongs to two partners, nobody can be a Choser from the war. So the Gemara says, Umayshname Chamisha Achin, Umayda Chamihem, Miltama, Kun Chosun. So why is this case different? Let's say you have five brothers, and one brother who is married dies. All the other four brothers get to go back from the war because they're all right. They're all shomer yavam. They all have potential yibum. He says, but here with the partners in the kerem, nobody gets to go back. Hatam klatabatat karina bei ishto. In other words, over there, any of the brothers could theoretically end up marrying this woman. Any of the brothers could be the husband. Hatam klatabatat lo karina bei karmo. Here by the kerem, nobody can say it's exclusively my kerem. None of the partners can say it's my kerem exclusively. It's always with the other partner.
Why not? It's the partner.
It was the
partner. I own this, the mother one. Yeah. You come say, I want to grab something.
And the branch. So, that was the case with the Gemara extrapolated from there. That was the case of the Mishnah. Then the Gemara says, let's say we have a kerem that belongs to two partners. It doesn't have to be with the grafted, but it could be. So, but there's no exemption for that. So it means that neither one could say it's my kerem. So it's not mechanical that now let's keep going. I'm sorry, we just have a little bit of time. That's why I'm rushing. I'm sorry to rush people. I like to have you be able to speak, but we're just running out of time. Now, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Amar. Now, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak is talking again, going back to the earlier thing. One second. One second.
Giving another answer.
Yeah. One second. Let me just double check. One second. All right. So we're still working with the same setup as before, but we're trying to find a case where you were allowed to graft and you get to go back from the war. So one case was that there was a young tree, but it was planted for wood or for the fence. There was not be Yiskamar, the Mavrich Ilan Gerek. He says, you were Mavrich, you grafted a tree onto a Gerek. So Gerek, we need to say vegetable. It means that like something which is not called a tree, not a wood, not a woody thing that lasts through the winter. The high Tanahu, and then our Mishnah would be like the following Tana. The Tanya, Hamavrich Ilan Gerek, or Shmigamilam Meatir, Mishum Rabbi Yudim Gamda. He says you're allowed to do that. Mishum Rabbi Yehuda ben Gamda Ishpor Akko, Bachachamim Ostrim. So there is an opinion that says you can be Mavrich and Eitz with a Yerek, and that's what the Mishnah is talking about. So he was Mavrich, so the underlying plant was a plant, not a vineyard, and now he's able to be Mavrich on it. Okay, now, Kiyata Rabbimi, when Rabbimi came from Israel, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yochanan, Hamani Reb Lezer ben Yaakov, he wanted to say, this is going back to the Brisa that we said before. The Brisa says that there is no exemption. We said that you're doing an Aveira. So he says, Hamani Reb Lezer ben Yaakov, Lo Amar Reb Lezer ben Yaakov Hatam Kerem K'mashma'o. We know that Reb Lezer ben Yaakov says only the Kerem is the one that gets an exemption, not any other plantings. Hachanami Nata K'mashma'o. Lo Te'in Mavrich Umar Kiblo. So when the Brisa said above, that if you were Mavrich or Marki, if you don't have the exemption, that's going like Reb Lezer ben Yaakov. He's a strict constructionist. He says, Kerem means Kerem. Nata means the plant, not your Marki or Marki. We had it in the Brisa. Yeah. All over the place. Okay. And we had it. Okay, now the Gemara says, yeah, now having mentioned Rabbim and then Reb Yochanan, now the Gemara mentioned the other halakha of Rabbim and then Reb Yochanan, even though we're moving away from our sugya now. Now, Kiata Rabdimi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov, Yalda Putami Tefach. If I have a small tree which is less than a tefach, is like 6 inches, Chayevet Beorla Kosh Nota. So it's, you can never have the fruit of that tree. The fruit is on a Rabbanan level always considered to be Orla Mithazia Kibachata, because people look at it, they see it's a young tree and he's eating the fruit from it, but even though it's more than that. That's talking about if I have, you could say even, it means like sometimes you have a small field and you have like 5 trees or 5 vines. So Narashi says that this is going according to an opinion that Orla is only when I have not 1 tree, but 5 trees like this. But another way to say it is that it's even when I have like these 5 trees together, still he has this din rabbanon about kula kerem. But if he's got a larger kerem, tala idle. So then everybody knows if he's got a larger kerem, where all the trees or all the barns are very small, everybody knows. Oh yeah, Joe's kerem. He's got the scorny vineyards. Okay, but now kiyata Rabbimi, when Rabbimi came from Eretz Yisrael, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. He said, "Name Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov. Rabbi Yochanan, a Masor from the town of Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov." May toface arba mot the kriyishma. If there's a dead body buried there, so you can't recite kriyishma within dalan amos of the maid. The thief loegla rash pereko seyu. The person who like scoffs or laughs at the poor person, he's makharif, is like disparaging the kaddish baruch hu. Meaning, if to do a mitzvah in the presence of a maid is like a lack of kavod for the maid, because the maid can't do mitzvahs and we can do mitzvah.
So,
what? Loing the rush, right. It comes up in Drach, but he says, I could say something on the side. So he says, the first white line, Avri Yitzchavar Yochanan, Mishum Lez Ben Yaakov, Chor Gita HaGedela Ben Ha'achim, Asurli Nasei La'achim. Let's say you have, you know, one woman was previously married, one man was previously married. They each have children from prior marriages. And now, you know, Rachel is married to, you know, Reuven. But so Rachel's daughter, there's nothing in common with Reuben's son. They have no parents in common with them. So here he said that if they grow up together, they shouldn't marry one another. Because everybody thinks of them as brother and sister. But the Gemara says, "Lo, it's not true." Kala itle lamilta. It's like everybody talks. They say, "Oh, remember he married Tony." So it's well known. But it's what to talk about this thing. There's a piece here. They quote. We don't have time now. The Ramosha has a tshuva. Let's say, can a man be alone with
stepdaughter?
This is an adopted daughter or stepdaughter? I think it's a stepdaughter. So Ramosha wanted to bring a raya from here. With an adoption. In other words, let's say I adopt a daughter. So Rav Moshe wanted to say from this Gemara, it's mashma, that in other words, here the Gemara says they look like the brothers and sisters, but if the father or the mother wouldn't be miachid with them, it would be even more obvious. So Rav Moshe wanted to kind of derive sort of an answer from here, but I don't have time. Now, he says, okay, now, on the third wide line, Ba'am Rav Yitzchak, Ba'am Rav Yochanan, Mishum Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, Lekat Shechu Peya Shasan Begoren, let's say, Lekat Shechu Peya the Ma'anot Aniyim, but let's say the Ani gathered a whole bunch of Lekat Shechu Peya, made a big pile of it, Hukbu the Ma'aser, now he becomes Chayv and Ma'aser. Normally not Chayv and Ma'aser, but he does part of Chayv and Ma'aser because people look at it and think he harvested the outer field. So Amar Ulu, Amar Anila Besades. Ulu says it's only if it's in the field, Abal Be'ir, but if he's gathering the food and he brings it into the city, he says, Kala Itlay in the middle. So everybody knows, oh yeah, he got by a little bit here from here, a little bit there. He didn't grow anything, and that's where it came from. So Amar Yitzchak, Amar Yochanan, Shulaz Biyakov, Yalda Ptuta Mitefach, Inam Kedishin of Mizraim. If I have a small kerem, a small vine, that's less than a tefach in height, it doesn't ask for Zrayim that are planted with it. That's if it's like a small vineyard. In other words, for a vineyard, if it's kilei a kerem. In other words, if I plant other types of seeds in a kerem, so everything becomes prohibited. So he says, if the kerem is very pachot mitefach, so it's really, he says, it doesn't really cut it. He says, amleya zera. He says, if I have a kerem, a vineyard, and then I plant other types of seeds there, like wheat and barley, everything's prohibited. Okay. So here he teaches me, let's say I have a kerem where the kerem is like micro dot size.
Okay.
It's like very small. So he learns out that it's not killing a kerem. It says, Pentecost Hamleaha Zera. He says, Sha'arz Rami Drabanan, Lukiahai Kerem, Lukas Rabanan Sha'arz Royan. He says, this type of kerem, if it's a whole kerem, it would be fine. Okay, 10 seconds, that's it. One second. Okay. I'm going to run. He says,
This whole vineyard, is that also if it's too small? Even though you did something that was also.
In other words, the vineyard has to be a certain size in order to invoke the din. That's okay. What he's saying. So if it's too small, it does
and
not.
You did other stuff. The whole thing is mutar.
That's what he's saying. He says, but about kuli kerem makdish. But if it's a whole vineyard, okay, I gotta go. Okay, what time?
It's 8:59. Go. Good Shabbos.
Okay, bye, everybody. It's late. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Go.
1 second and a half.
What time is Dafa Shabbat?
One second. I can't even get.
Thank you, Rabbi.